Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome to the Think Orange podcast.
A podcast with ideas and conversations to help you influence the next generation.
Here are your hosts, Dave Adamson and Ashley Bohens.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Welcome to episode 34 of the Think Orange podcast. I am your host, Dave Adamson, coming to you live from our Think Orange bunker. Once again, my co-host Ashley is out. She's out serving churches around the U.S., helping student ministry leaders get better at what they do. So I want to give her a quick shout out. Ashley, you are doing fantastic work. We absolutely love you. But I do miss her in the Think Orange bunker. I'm not going to lie, because we haven't had singing on for a while. So my goal for this episode, episode 34, is at some point to get my producer, Kevin, to come in and sing us one of his favorite little ditties. He's ferociously shaking his head. I think he might be rapping to himself right now, just outside the window there. But I'm going to see if I can get him in. While I try to do that, I'm going to let you know that today we are talking about how to engage today's youth and families as ministry leaders, as church leaders. We want to engage today's youth and family. And we don't want to do that just for 1 hour every Sunday. So to help us with that, we're going to be hearing from Cara Powell and Paula Danielle. Now, they're going to show us some ways that we can stay connected for the other 167 hours of the week when families go back to their normal everyday life. Now, Cara Powell is the executive director of the Fuller Youth Institute, FYI, not just for your information, but the Fuller Youth Institute. She is an associate professor of youth and family ministries. I mean, she is super smart. And in addition to her roles at Fuller Seminary, Cara also serves as a youth and family strategist right here at Orange. And get this, she's super smart, right? She's super well known. She has lots of degrees and a PhD in practical theology, all that sort of stuff. But she also, and I love this about her, she volunteers in student ministries at Lake Avenue Church in Pasadena, where she lives with her husband, Dave, and their three amazing children, Nathan, Krista, and Jessica. You are absolutely going to love what she's got to share today. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on. And then after we hear from Cara, we're going to hear an interview that I did with Miss Paula Danielle. Paula is the founder and CEO of a place called Purpose Over Rules Ministry. She's also the mother of three beautiful girls. We really connected over the fact that we're both parents to three girls. But Purpose Over Rules is a next-gen coaching firm that partners with churches and other organizations in the community to create these spaces and opportunities that will hopefully change students' lives on purpose. Paula also recently joined us on the Orange Tour, so I'm sure some of you who are part of the Orange Tour got to hear from her directly. You'll find that she is not just a lot of fun, but she is so practical in the advice that she has to give. So as always, you're going to want to break out a Moleskine or Evernote and break out a pen, because there are going to be a lot of truthful takeaways, practical takeaways from today's podcast. And today's episode is actually brought to you by Weekly. Weekly is a customizable resource library giving you the social media plans and emails and videos, all that sort of stuff that you need to engage parents and develop small group leaders online every week. Now, that's super important, because how much of us get our content online at the moment? You know, we're heading into the Christmas season. I want to ask you this question. How much of your shopping will be done online this year for Christmas? Probably, if you're anything like me, 90, 95%. That's because we don't necessarily want to go to physical stores anymore. And sometimes we think to get small group leaders trained and to engage with parents, we have to bring them to a building like a church or something like that. But no, Weekly makes it super easy for you to connect with parents and small group leaders online every week. And you can find out more simply by going to goweekly.com. That address again is goweekly.com.
Hey guys, it's Kevin here. So I'm gonna jump in on
Kevin.
One. Hey everybody. Hey,
it's good to see you. You know
what? It's funny, because my wife told me I need to stop interjecting. But then guess,
dude,
what
you
what
say happened? That every week you interject.
I know. It's true. But guess what happened?
What happened?
Someone stopped me this week and said,
no.
And said, Kevin, I want to tell you how much I like what you do, and I
come on.
And I love when you interject.
Somebody told you that this week. Is it written down? Is it in an email? We want proof.
It's actually a youth pastor in Richmond, Virginia named Jamel. So Jamel, thank you for the shout out, buddy. I appreciate it.
I think that's amazing. What are you interjecting with today?
Well, I'm interjecting.
We should have theme music for your interjection.
I know, I got to figure something out for 2018.
Let's figure that out.
But what I want,
it could be a jingle.
That would be great.
What would it sound like, do you think?
I don't know. I'm not going to sing yet.
It would be something like, interjecting with Kevin.
I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but I wanted to bring something up. The reality is, back in 2015, people were already spending over an hour and 40 minutes every day on social media.
Yeah.
And so as a church, if you haven't yet put together a strategy on how you're going to communicate with small group leaders on social media, right? You hope and pray they open your emails.
Totally.
But they're going to spend 1 hour and 40 minutes on social media. You could probably be queuing them and setting them up for the theme for this week, giving them devotionals and content that might actually stir their hearts to prepare them for that Sunday's conversation with students.
Yeah.
And you could then that following week follow with parents via social media about what their child learned.
That's so good,
right?
Kevin.
And that's what Weekly does.
Yeah.
The team that's behind Weekly, Afton's been on the podcast before, but they work really hard to strategically make sure that the content that gets delivered to leaders does that exact thing. It sets up small group leaders throughout the week and then engages parents to follow up on that topic after so they know what to do and how to engage on that topic with their kids throughout the week after Sunday.
Yeah, I love that. And I mean, that statistic, 1 hour and
40 minutes.
40
and that
minutes.
Was 2015.
That was 2015. That's what I was going to say. Because I can tell you, as a social media pastor at my church, it is a lot more than that now. It's more around the 4 hour mark. So what that means is the families in your church, they're not sitting around going, I wonder what the church is emailing me today. No, but they are sitting in the carpool line at the school or in traffic or while they're on their commute. They are on social media. And if that's where you need to be in order to stay connected with them. As I said, right at the top of the show, right? Churches get to connect with people for 1 hour every Sunday, but through social media, we can stay connected with them for the other 167 hours of the week. And that's exactly what Weekly does, right?
Exactly. So I usually don't jump in on pitches like this, but this is one of those tools where I feel like what we've seen so far at Orange is every church that has it.
Yep.
It's like we would never want to go back without it.
That's so good.
And so we're trying to figure out how to make sure more leaders know. We understand the reality that it's hard to focus on social media like this throughout the week. Focus on getting your emails out. There's so many logistical things to do. Can we help you do it? So
love it.
Not trying to park on this longer than too long, but I feel like sometimes we just got to say, hey, people are doing great work with this tool, and your church can do the same.
That's so good. And you can find out more simply by going to goweekly.com. Now I think we should play the jingle out, right? Interjecting
totally.
With Kevin.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to throw it straight over to Kara Powell right now. And then straight after Kara, you're going to hear my interview with Paula Danielle. And then I'll be back straight after that.
It's interesting if we think about the relationship that churches and congregations have with families these days. You know, I met a youth leader in Tennessee. Any Tennessee folks in the room? Oh, you are quiet. It's okay. You can be a little bit more. Any Tennessee folks in the room? There we go. There's some spirit. And she said to me not too long ago, she said, you know what, Kara? When I was growing up, even though I wasn't a Christian, I knew that my family could always go to the church for help. She knew the church was a place where her family would get help. Unfortunately, that's not what the church is portrayed as. That's not how the church is viewed right now by today's families. It's interesting even to look at how the media has portrayed families and their interaction with the church over the last few decades. You've got Seventh Heaven. This is the longest running family drama of all time, where the dad was actually a pastor in the church. So the church had this very present and positive view for this family. Now, let's take a look at The Simpsons. The church is certainly present, but it's not viewed positively, nor are Christians viewed positively in this family comedy. So Ned Flanders is a Christian. The Simpsons Neighbors is not viewed positively by the Simpsons family, nor is the church overall. Then we've got family comedies today like Modern Family, where the church, the only time the church is present is when there's a wedding happening. The church is absent and irrelevant to this family today. Now, maybe you've had this experience as a leader. When you offer events for families, say training, encouraging, equipping events, you put all this energy into it, you plan, you think you've promoted them pretty well, and only a handful of families show up. Only 10 to 20% of families show up, and those are the families who arguably needed the training the least. They're the families who could be doing the training. And so we as leaders, whether we work with elementary, middle school, high school, college, we're trying all these strategies to reach parents. We're throwing these arrows at this dartboard. Well, what I want to suggest today is part of the reason that our efforts to partner with and equip parents haven't worked is because what we're missing is a connection with parents and families' felt needs. We are not scratching where they itch. So no wonder they don't show up when we offer events for them. No wonder they don't return our emails or phone calls. No wonder the only time we hear from them is when there's a crisis in their family. Our commitment at the Fuller Youth Institute to try to help build sticky faith families and help churches partner with families has become all the stronger because of what we've seen with young people after they graduate from great youth groups like yours and great churches across the country. The best research shows that 1 out of 2 young people drift from God and from the church after graduation from high school. Let's let that sink in a little bit. 1 out of 2 drift from God and from the church after high school. So imagine taking a picture in your mind of your students, whatever grade they are, and then imagine them 12th grade graduating, and then take a red pen and put an X over almost 50% of their faces. Because the best research shows that many are going to drift from God and from the church after graduation. Now, as a parent and a leader and a follower of Jesus, I'm not satisfied with that. Are you? Okay, let's try that again. Because if you're satisfied with that, there are other seminars you should go to right now, okay? So when I think about 1 out of 2 of the students that I have and am investing in, 1 out of 2 of those students drifting from God and from the church, I'm not satisfied with that. Are you?
No.
Oh, that was so good. Now, why is it important to partner with parents given this faith attrition? Christian Smith is a researcher from Notre Dame now. He's studied over 2,000 young people, and he says when it comes to kids' faith, not just Christian kids, but across the board with all sorts of different religions, when it comes to kids' faith, parents get what they are. When it comes to kids' faith, parents get what they are. So leaders, your role in young people's lives is incredibly important. But for the average kid, that parent will be more formational and determinative of their faith trajectory than you. As a parent, that both encourages me and terrifies me simultaneously. We have these churches that walk through our Sticky Faith research over the course of our year in a Sticky Faith cohort. And David Fraze is a pastor in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And he got a chance to preach on Sticky Faith at his church. And he sent me an audio of what he said to his congregation, the vast majority of whom are parents. And he said, "We can't out-teach what you teach at home. We're not that good." Anybody want to say an amen to that? Amen. We can't out-teach what parents are teaching at home. We're not that good. We don't have students for that long in a week or a month or over the course of a year. That's why our team at the Fuller Youth Institute feels such a resonance with this orange philosophy, where we combine the yellow, that's the light of Christ in the church, with the red, that's the heart of love in families, and we get orange. Now, one thing I need to say when it comes to Sticky Faith families is we are talking about all types of families. You might have noticed that some of the imagery we've had on the screens kind of assumes 2 parents and 2 kids. But let's be honest, the reality is there are a lot of single parents in our congregations and in our cities. And then my family, extended family, looks a little bit more like this. I've got a stepmom, a stepdad, a stepuncle. I mean, my family tree has all sorts of branches. So when we think about families, we need to think broadly about all sorts of families and not just assume we're talking about kind of the typical, so to speak, nuclear family. One last thought before we get into some of the shifts we need to make based on families' real needs. Part of why I am so passionate about Sticky Faith is because of the vision that I have for our country or your country, whatever country you happen to come from. You see, because I have a bias. I think the best way to transform our country is through the church. How many agree? Okay, the best way to transform our country is through a more effective church. Now, I have a bias here. I think the best way to have a more effective church is through passionate, unwavering young people. And the best way to have passionate, unwavering young people, friends, is to partner with their families and help families become vibrant and intimate hotbeds that develop faith. So hopefully you understand why it's so important for us to equip parents. Now let's move into how. What are the three shifts we're going to look at where we're going to aim right for the heart of that target for parents' felt needs? Let me start by talking to those of you who are not parents. How many of you who are not parents feel busy? Raise your hand if you're not a parent and you feel busy. Okay, I don't doubt that you are busy. Why are the parents in the room laughing? I thought I was busy too. And then I had children. And then, as one friend of mine put it, she has her job that she goes to from 8 to 5, and then she comes home to her work. Wonderful work. But as busy as you feel if you're not a parent, trust those of us who are parents. Parents feel, and I would argue actually are, even more busy. Parents today are so incredibly busy. Families today are so incredibly busy. When I was doing youth ministries in the 80s and 90s, a very involved family in our church, we would usually see 2 to 3 times a week. They would come Sunday mornings, they would come Sunday nights, and they would come midweek. So 10, 20 years ago, involved families, we were seeing 2 to 3 times a week. Now, doing ministry in roughly the same geographical area, involved families, I don't see 2 to 3 times a week. I see 2 to 3 times a month because families have gotten so busy. So part of how we equip parents is to give them what we on our team at the Fuller Youth Institute call minivanable ideas to build faith. Minivanable, I just made up that word, ideas to build faith. And by the way, Missy is holding some clipboards, which she's going to pass around now, because the type of research that we do at the Fuller Youth Institute, we love sharing through our e-journal. We have an e-journal that comes out twice a month. It's totally free. We would love to have you subscribe to it. We include resources for you as leaders, as well as for parents, so you can forward certain articles to parents. I have learned I need to announce this. There's a relationship between the legibility of your handwriting and actually receiving the e-journal. So please keep that in mind as you write your emails. So we provide minivanable ideas to build faith. There's a lot of families in my church, probably in your church too, who kind of are dry cleaner families. They view the church as a dry cleaner. They come Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock with their kids all dirty, all spiritually rumpled. They check them into Sunday school or youth group. And then they go on to their church service and they come back 90 minutes later and they want to receive their children all clean. And guess who's done that cleaning in that 90 minutes? We have, as volunteer and professional leaders. What we've seen in our Sticky Faith research, as we've looked at what makes a difference in long-term faith, is that dry cleaner parenting and a dry cleaner approach to kids' spiritual formation doesn't work. One of my favorite aspects of our research is we had a PhD student whose whole focus was parent-child faith conversations. Parent-child faith conversations. And this, more than anything else, has changed my own parenting when it comes to our research. Let's say that you are my kid. What's your name?
Preston.
Preston. Okay. Where are you from, Preston?
From Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Fort Smith, Arkansas. Awesome. So let's say Preston is my kid. What our research shows is it is a good thing for me to ask Preston questions about Preston's faith. How was church? How was youth group? And that's what, you know, good Christian families tend to do. They ask their kids questions. when they pick them up after church. Now, depending on Preston's mood and personality and my relationship with him, I might get an answer, or I might get kind of a leave me alone mom eye roll. Well, what our research suggests is I, as a parent, should keep asking Preston questions. But here's the great twist on our research, is what is equally important, according to our data, is not just me asking Preston questions about Preston's faith as a parent, but me sharing about my own faith as a parent. Let me say that again. Equally important to asking our kids questions about their faith is for me as a parent to share about my own faith. And that is what is not happening as often in our Christian families today. I loved Andy Stanley's take a few minutes ago on biblical marriages. So, you know, and I think biblical families, there's also some baggage there. So we have parents say to us, well, Kara, you know, I think what's more important than what I say to my kids and my faith conversations about them is the example that I am. Now, depending on how well I know the parent who tells me that, my reply is normally something like this. Well, if I have to choose between being an example and talking about my faith, I will choose being an example because I think that's ultimately more important. But friends, do we have to choose either be an example or talk about our faith? Of course not. We can do both, and we can empower parents to do both. So what does it look like? What ideas can you pass on to parents and use in your own ministries? We've got three of them. The first is the power of regular, casual conversation in families. Regular, casual conversation in families, often over dinner time, or bedtime, or in the car. So I said that Sticky Faith has changed the way that I parent, and every night at dinner, our family has a different conversation because of Sticky Faith. Since our kids were little, Dave and I have been asking them, you know, what's your high and what's your low? Well, because of our Sticky Faith research, we've also added, how did you see God at work today? How did you see God at work today? Now, when we first introduced that question, our then 8-year-old, she's the verbal one, said, well, Mom, I can't answer that question. Really, why not? She said, well, I don't have a job. How did you see God at work today? So then when we reframed it as, how did you see God working? Oh, okay, yeah. I can answer that question now. And I gotta be honest, I don't love the theology that comes out of my kid's mouth every time we answer that question. How did you see God at work today? We won the kickball tournament. Now, eventually, as my kids get older, we'll deconstruct that theology a little bit. But for now, I love that every day our kids hear Dave and me answer that question. We'll do it tonight on the phone. How did you see God at work today? Because it reminds me a lot of the powerful words from Deuteronomy 6, where we're instructed to talk about faith when you sit at home and walk along the road. I love telling parents, our research isn't even saying you need to be more spiritual. I know I certainly benefit from focus times of spiritual disciplines and spiritual practices, etc., but that's not even what our research is saying. Our research is saying, parents, just share with your kids the spirituality you already have. Share with your kids the spirituality you already have. What are you praying about? What is God showing you? What's your response spiritually to terrible things like the Boston bombing last week? Parents, have those conversations with your kids about what God is showing you in the present, as well as what God has shown you in the past. One of the churches in our Sticky Faith cohort got particularly interested in this idea of parents sharing about their past spiritual experiences. So this youth pastor asked 20 kids on a short-term missions trip, do you know how your parents became Christians? 20 kids, do you know how your parents became Christians? Would you like to guess how many of the kids knew how their parents became Christians? Yeah, it starts with a Z. Glad you said wow. Wow, zero new. Now, even as I say that to a group of leaders, I'm guessing there's a large percentage of you going, well, wait a second, I'm not sure that my kids really know how I became a Christian. One of the churches in our Sticky Faith cohort, because of this kind of data, they offered a class to parents simply about how you share your testimony with kids, with your own kids. The only problem was that they didn't put enough chairs out because parents were that interested in help and how to talk spiritually with their kids. Now, when it comes to our ministries, the first two practices are things that we can help parents to. This next one is geared for us as leaders. As we can help parents leverage church experiences. Leverage church experiences in their family conversations. What do I mean by that? When kids have an amazing spiritual high, let's say, on a camp, a retreat, a service activity, a short-term mission trip, whatever it is, let me ask you this. What tools are you giving families to continue to process that when the child gets home? The vast majority of us are probably doing nothing to help parents process with their kids what their kids have experienced. Now, some people do stuff on paper and all that, and that's great. But let me give you one really simple idea. If you don't know where to start, we learned this from a youth leader in Denver, who what he does, say he's a high school pastor. When high school students go on retreat, he comes back to the church an hour early for a mandatory parents meeting. And what does he do during that hour? He explains, here are the scripture passages we looked at. Here's what God did. Here are some good questions for you to ask your kids. Now, he doesn't violate any kids' confidentiality, but he lets parents in on the spiritual transformation that's happened over the last 48 hours. So parents, when their kids show up on the bus and get out of those vans, the parents are ready and primed to talk with their kids. As a bonus, by the way, parents are also never late to pick up their kids. So no more hanging out on the church curb for a half hour waiting. Now, when it comes to parent-child faith conversations, we often get asked this by parents, especially parents of teenagers, especially parents of one particular gender that I won't name, but you can just guess which one it is. What do you do if your child doesn't want to talk to you? What do you do if, as a parent, if your child just doesn't want to talk to you? That's a complex question and one that requires me getting to know the family more personally before I can really answer specifically. But let me tell you one story about a parent that you can pass on to other parents. This particular parent had a teenage boy who never wanted to talk about anything deep, let alone anything spiritual. And the mom tried to connect with him. You don't go out to dinner. You want to go out for coffee? No. The kid never wanted to do anything. But the kid had one love, and that was movies. So the mom became a student of movies. She studied movie trailers. She looked into what movies were playing and were going to be releasing soon. She doesn't like movies all that much, but she likes her son. Because, see, when she would say to her son, do you want to come to a movie with me? That was the only thing that her son would want to do with her. She would try to pick movies that had some kind of spiritual theme, not necessarily like Passion of the Christ spirituality, but some kind of spiritual theme. And then this very creative mom would choose movie theaters further away than she even really needed to choose. Because the drive home was the best conversation she had with her son. So for a lot of parents, it means us helping them enter into their kids' worlds, whether it's video games or sports or whatever it might be, but learning their kids' love language instead of expecting their kids to enter ours as parents.
Hey, I am so thrilled to be joined in the Think Orange podcast bunker by my new friend, Paula Danielle. Paula, how are you?
I am doing so great. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm excited.
Well, I'm so glad that you're here because we've had a lot of men in the bunker lately. It's about time we had a woman in here.
Woohoo, women.
Now, Paula, there might be some people who are listening who don't know who you are. Can you give us a little bit of a snapshot of your story?
Yeah, so my name is Paula. I was raised in church. I have been doing Next Gen ministry for most of my life. Yeah. So I definitely am one of those people that when they say student leaders make great leaders, my student pastor, my youth pastor growing up believed that. And so I have been leading Next Gen ministry since I was a student myself. I currently serve as a family ministry director for the Uptown campus at Forest Hill Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yep.
I'm also really privileged and blessed to work with Orange on occasion. So I do my own church consulting work with my company, Purpose Over Rules,
yeah.
As we help churches and communities create space and opportunity to disciple kids on purpose. So I'm excited about all God's doing.
Now, I know one of the things that you're super passionate about is kids having a faith of their own.
Yes.
And we just heard a clip from Kara Powell talking about how faith is made more sticky in kids when they hear their parents talk about it casually at home and share their own beliefs. I wonder how that looks in your house, because I know you have three teenage daughters.
Yes, I do. I have three beautiful teenage girls. I have twins, Chael and Charity, who are 15, and Cherish, the baby girl, who is not so much a baby, 13, but that is my baby. And so it's really important to me that the girls own their faith. And while there are practices, right, in Christianity that help us develop faith,
yep.
It's important that they don't get stuck with the practices, that they actually move past the practice of prayer and going to church and worship songs and sermons and all the things we do as Christians to actually having a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so, in order to do that, some of the things that we do is we share regularly in natural life. No question is off the table for my girls. We talk about everything that they think about. And sometimes the questions are awkward, but it's on the table. And they know they're comfortable and they know that if I don't know, I will say, I don't know.
And now that's interesting, because I would think some parents don't want to talk about spiritual things because maybe they don't feel like they've got the biblical knowledge. So they want to leave that at church. But you're saying it's okay to say, hey, I don't know the answer. Let's look it up.
Yeah, I think that's essential, actually, to say, I don't know the answer. Let's look it up. Because sometimes we treat faith as a destination instead of a journey. Mm. And our kids need to understand that we are walking out our faith just like they are.
Yeah. Is there a time in your house where you see these conversations come up more regularly? Like, is it bedtime? Is it around the dinner table? Is it in the carpool lane? Like,
yeah, it's really driving. Driving is a great conversation time for us. My family and I are big on music. And so these questions tend to come up based on what's on the radio.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's Christian radio. Sometimes it's not Christian radio. Don't judge me, all my church people. Sometimes it's not Christian radio. But those are great conversations and lead to some great faith conversations with my girls.
Yeah. Talk us through, how would that come up? Like, you're listening to the radio?
Yeah. So actually, we heard a song on the radio in regards to inviting people back to church. And my daughter would listen to
A song where the lyrics say, invite people back to church.
The lyrics say, come and knock on my door. We've been waiting for you. And it talks about Jesus.
I don't know that song. Can you sing that?
Yeah.
Can you hum a little bit of it?
Can I really?
Go. Come on.
Come and knock on our door. We've been waiting for you.
Woo!
So don't sign me to a record deal or anything like that. But there's a line in the song that talks about Jesus being inside their church.
Mm.
And so one of my girls said, isn't it funny how they would be vain enough to think that Jesus is only present in their church?
Oof, that's an insightful kid.
And so we had to talk about like God being omnipresent, but the church being where we go to worship. And then what is that? If God is omnipresent, then why do I need to go to the physical church to worship, right? Which is huge for millennials and Gen Z kids specifically as we look at the research and their idea of formal religion and the church as a physical space is changing. Yeah. So that conversation was very vital in that regard. So that's kind of how it goes.
So what I'm hearing you say is just when your kid presents you with an opportunity to have these conversations, Just have it.
You know, that's now that they're older. When they were younger, I will never forget the day that we were in the car and I was having a parent moment. And I used the phrase, I said, "Will you do it because I said so and I'm in charge?" And my daughter said, "Well, isn't God really in charge?"
Wow.
You know, second grade. And then I was like, "God is in charge, but God put me in charge. And because of Ephesians 6, I'm in charge." You know, we had to go through that whole thing. And so I laughed later. It wasn't really funny at the time, but so no matter what age or phase your kid is in, it's important to take those moments and let them know you're still figuring out too. And conversation about God is always on the table.
Do you think it's important for parents to share their testimony with their in a casual way, not, you know, all formal or anything, but share how they came to know and follow Jesus?
Yeah, I think that is essential because our kids often get the picture after the fact, right? They know us where we're at now.
Yeah.
They weren't with us when where we've been. And so I think when we hide who we were, then it makes it more difficult for them to come to us with who they are.
Yeah.
They think we can't understand, they can't relate. I think everything is done in proportion and according to their maturity level, right? And as parents, we need to be discerning of that. But I think it's important for kids to know that you were human and that you are human.
Yeah.
We made mistakes and we make mistakes and we will continue to make mistakes. Because if they don't know that about us, then when they make a mistake, they can feel like it's the end of the world, right? My parent has been perfect. My parent never did this. And it creates a breach where there should be a bridge to help them grow.
Oh, I like that idea, a breach where there's a bridge. But there's a lot of shame built up around maybe some of the things parents have done in their past, and they don't want to talk about it. So do you think that there's a typical age where people should start sharing their story with their kids?
Absolutely. I do think there are some ages to keep in mind, but I also think every kid is unique. And so I think there are things, you know, I have three kids in the household, but there are things that I can expect of my younger 15-year-old, because they're twins, that I cannot expect of my older 15-year-old because the maturation level is different.
Right.
And so as a parent, you need to be in tune with that.
Yeah.
I would not share a story with my kids that I feel like they are not mature enough to get the lesson.
Yeah.
If they're going to be fascinated with the action that was a mistake, then they're not mature enough to get the lesson. And so you have to make sure that they're mature enough to get the lesson from it and not be fascinated with the action.
Yeah, that's really good. And do you think that it's also good? I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is it also good for you to as a parent to tell your kids, "Hey, I'm questioning this," or "I've got questions about that," when it comes to scriptural things or theology?
Yeah, I think that's really important. I think that is extremely important because, again, faith is a journey. It is not a destination. It is something that we're constantly growing in. And so my kids and I have had questions about sexuality and what do I think? If God is a loving God, then how do they tell their friend in third grade that's growing up with two dads that God doesn't love them? Well, I had to address, first of all, that it's not that God doesn't love them, right?
Yeah.
And so those questions come up, and it's okay to answer a question with a question and find the answers together. And if you don't find the answers, God's grace is big enough for question marks.
Yeah.
And that's okay too.
There's so much turmoil in our country at the moment.
Yeah.
Is it okay to be talking to your kids about that from a faith background as well?
I think that's necessary.
Yeah.
I think it's necessary. Yeah. I think that we cannot live our lives separate from politics and faith.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, politics is how we legalize justice issues. And so sometimes we want to say, well, the church is not the place for politics. Well, I happen to disagree because politics is justice issues on paper. It's how we feel about people who don't have power to act on their own.
Yeah.
And so if we are going to be Christians who are called, right, to fight for the least, the lost, the left out, then we have to have that conversation with justice issues, or else it's a faith that does not act out on earth.
Yeah.
It's faith with no salt, with no light.
Yeah.
And so we have to be willing to talk about justice issues and how it impacts all sides.
That's awesome. And this is a risky thing though, right? This is risky in our house because, you know, we can talk to our kids about matters of faith. We can talk to them about our spiritual life. But I mean, if we're not following through, they're the first people who are going to see it, right? Kids will follow they don't necessarily follow your opinion, but they follow your actions. They
Absolutely.
Follow your example.
Absolutely. Every time. They'll be the first ones to see it. But that's also why it is important. Well, it does two things. First of all, it holds parents accountable to what we say.
Yeah.
Right? So it puts it out there. Oh, I've said this now.
Yeah.
So now it becomes something real. It's not just something I think about, right?
Yeah.
It's something I actually have to follow through.
Yeah.
But then it also gives kids the space when we mess up, when we fall short, when we don't hit it on the head, it gives kids the space to see the redemptive work of Christ in our lives. Because they will mess up, right? So if we always hold up this perfect image, this perfect banner, then they don't know how to deal with errors in their own lives, and they miss being able to understand a loving God, a forgiving Father, and all of the things that faith comes with. So we really cheapen their faith experience when we can't make a mistake.
Yeah.
We as parents, it's important to make the mistake, to own the mistake, and then do better and fix the mistake.
That's awesome. I find, I've got three girls, that can be all teenagers, so it's kind of an interesting time. But I've always seen my role as a dad as being a representative of God to them.
Absolutely.
Not in a negative sort of way, but like I know that, you know, their idea of a father comes from me.
Yes.
And I want them to see God as their father as well, then how I respond to them is super important.
Absolutely.
So I found for me, and I'm wondering if this is the same for you, that sometimes it's not what I talk about. It's not how I talk about faith that has the impact. It's how I deal with them when they're in trouble, for example, and
Absolutely.
What I teach them about mercy, what I teach them about grace.
Yes.
When I'm not having the grace conversation with them.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that's really important with my girls, because they grew up in church, right? So they are effectively PKs.
Yeah.
And they love to pull the grace card when they may have done something that isn't quite great. So they'll pull grace and mercy. But we have to be able to talk as parents and show as parents, right? Not just talk as parents, but show as parents that God is balanced.
Yeah.
There is grace and mercy.
Yeah.
And there is consequences.
Yeah.
And we cannot erase the two, right? We cannot act like they're mutually exclusive from each other.
Yeah.
So consequences are, you know, punishment, discipline. I know we don't spank anymore, right? Okay, in whatever stage your kid is at, right? All of that.
Yeah.
Those are consequences, right? But then there is grace and mercy. Mm. And so we see that throughout the biblical text. Jonah had some consequences when he ran the other way from Nineveh.
Yeah.
The grace and mercy was that God preserved his life and he was still able to fulfill his purpose. Peter had some consequences when he denied Christ three times, even though the consequences were internal, right? Sometimes our consequences are just knowing that separation is there.
Yeah.
But God was still there with grace and mercy. And
yeah.
so it's important that as parents, we don't paint God to be like this cosmic Santa Claus that is just there to give us everything we want. No, God is balanced.
Mm.
And when he created day, he created night and in and out and up and down. And so we as parents have to be just as balanced.
Hey, I think as Christians, we often tend to see our faith as a personal thing that we deal with in solitude, in that we get up in the morning and we read the Bible on our own. We have what we call quiet times where we read the Bible, we pray on our own, we journal on our own, whatever that might look like.
Yeah.
Is it okay to bring our kids into that?
Absolutely.
I knew you'd say that. And I was hoping you'd say that.
it not only is it okay, but it is absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
Kids learn what they live.
Yeah.
And so if they never live with prayer, they never live with study, they never live with journaling or even worship, right? The only time that there's worship music is Sunday morning.
Yeah.
If they never live with any of that, then how do we expect them to learn how to do it?
Yeah.
They need to see all of that. And it's okay for us to have private time and say, this is my private time, right? With God and I, and now we're going to have family time with God. And I think it's important to do it all.
Wow. That seems like a lot to fit in. How do you do that with all you do?
Yeah, I don't. So it may not be a formal fit in.
Yeah.
It may not be. I think sometimes much weight.
Yes.
We put so much weight on ourselves to say, okay, family time Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. No, that may not happen.
Yeah.
And so God has given us so many tools in 2017 to make family God time happen wherever it needs to, in the car, at the grocery store, cooking dinner, waiting on somebody to bat the ball at a sports game.
Yeah.
We have to take the opportunity to see God and allow God to work in all of that instead of making God wait on us.
Yeah, one of the things I love that Andy Stanley talks about is I've heard him preach about how in the role that he has, he felt like obligated to have these set aside family devotional times, but that at some point it just became prayers on the stairs on the way up to bed.
Yeah.
And that became the casualness of what he did, but it became such an important moment.
Yeah.
When he stepped out of the formality of it,
a new
tradition sort of developed.
That's it. Yeah. Well, then God becomes real. God doesn't become a list on our schedule.
Yeah,
God becomes a part of our lives.
Okay. So you said that in 2017, there's so much technology and things. What are some of those things?
Yeah. So podcast is huge.
Yeah.
As well as if you have not checked out our parent queue, the Orange Parent Queue is great for tapping into what your church is doing on Sunday morning. If you're a curriculum user, and if not, we want you to be. All of those tools are out there.
Yeah.
There's videos, there's music, allowing your kids to talk. It's the car time is, and I'm a big, big music person in the car, but that's a great time to cut off the radio and see what they come up with.
That's
Social media is great. People always have an opinion out there, and those are great ways to flip conversations, especially with teenagers.
Yeah, one of the things my wife does is she listens to Audible books.
Yes.
In the car with the girls are in there.
Yeah.
And she'll be listening to, like, she's just been listening to Bob Goff read his book, Love Does.
Yes.
And it got to the point where when she got in the car one time and didn't turn it on, the girls were like, Mom, can you put that book on? So I 100% agree. There's so many tools you can use to start those conversations and not just sit around with your fingers crossed hoping that the kids bring up those conversations.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And we need to bring them up too. And so if we bring them up, the kids will learn that they can bring it up.
Yeah.
And it's a safe space.
Yeah, I agree. You know, so one of the things I love about my wife is she will often ask me, hey, how are you doing with God right now?
It's great.
And she doesn't wait for the kids to not be around to ask. She asks when they're around. And I think that creates an openness in a family. And it doesn't have to be that, oh, I've got it all together and, you know, I'm journaling 5 times a week. And sometimes it's like, hey, I'm really wrestling with something right now.
Yeah.
That's a big thing for us in our house is to say, hey, I'm wrestling with God on this and it's okay.
Yeah.
But I just want to keep wrestling.
Yeah. You all say I'm wrestling with God. I say, I don't know what God is doing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what God is doing. And my kids know one of my favorite sayings is I trust him when I can't trace him.
Say that again.
I trust him when I can't trace him. And one of my best mentors came up with that. That's not mine. One of my favorite mentors came up with that. And so my kids know what that means. I trust him when I can't trace him.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's what faith is about.
And that's real though.
Yeah.
That's just a real, I love that. Hey, you brought up Santa before.
Yeah.
So I just want to pick that back up.
Okay.
You know, we're heading into the Christmas sort of season. What are some things that you would encourage churches to do to help families connect with the Christmas story?
Yeah. So I would encourage churches to be balanced when it comes to Christmas.
Okay.
Especially when it comes to kid ministry.
Yeah.
For so long, we did not want to in the church even talk about Santa, right? We thought like God was threatened by the guy in the red suit. When in actuality, kids have imaginations for a reason.
Yeah.
And I think it's valuable to take their imagination and to match it with reality.
Mm.
I think it's okay. I think it's more than okay. I think it's important that we allow kids to be kids at the same time introducing them to God who gave us Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? And really drawing the line there that Jesus is real. Did Jesus bring presents? Well, that's funny I say that. So one of the things we did in my house, I don't know if this is off the question, but I thought it was cool and it was a little quirky. My mom did it for us. We would have Christmas gifts from her, Santa, and Jesus.
Hmm.
We would have all three as kids growing up. And the one from Jesus was always the one that we wanted the most.
Wow.
Growing up. And so she didn't rob that from us, but she wanted it all to be there and be in a healthy way. And so I just think it's important that we just present it in a healthy way. Allow kids to be kids. Give them Jesus. That's the reality. They need to know that Jesus came for them. But we can't steal their childhood in the process.
So is this a good time for them to be, for us to be having those conversations with them about faith and things like that?
Yeah, I mean,
because it's in culture now, right?
Yes.
It's in culture at this time of the year.
Yes.
So it seems like those opportunities are going to present themselves more often.
Yes. It is in culture, and it is important to talk about why we celebrate Christmas. Jesus is so, one of the things that is great, I think, to emphasize with elementary schoolers is Jesus is so loving, we get gifts on his birthday.
Mm.
Right? That helps them understand that Christmas is about Jesus's birthday, but he loves us so much, we're the ones that get the gifts and it's his day. So I think that's one way to do it, but I think it's essential to not shortchange the holiday season and what it means to see through a kid's eyes and that phase that they're in and engage them,
yeah,
right, in that phase, embrace that phase with them, but don't balance it with the faith aspect.
I think I may have screwed that up in my kids, Paula. I'm not going to lie to you.
No, I'm sure it's great.
When we drive around and we see, like, the towns put out the nativity,
yes,
scenes, my teenage girls just pick out all the things that are culturally wrong with the nativity scene.
That is actually,
like, constantly. Great. You know, they'll see the wooden thing and they'll go, "Dad, Jesus was born in a cave. He wasn't born in a wooden manger." And then they'll see the wooden the wooden manger there with the hay in it. "Dad, they wouldn't have had a wooden wooden feeding trough. It was made out of stone and it was a watering trough. Dad, the three wise men are there, but they didn't show up until 2 years later."
Right.
I may have done the wrong thing. I may have gone too far with the whole spiritual conversations. You know what I'm saying? But my opinion came through too many times.
I'm sure it's great because they still love Christmas because they're looking at the nativity scene with
you.
Well,
I hope so. Hey, Paula, just as we wrap up, tell us what you're seeing that gives you hope when it comes to kids developing an authentic and growing faith of their own.
Yeah. Some of the things that I am seeing that gives me hope is that kids and students are owning faith outside of church. They are really owning faith in their marketplace, in, yeah, their school and on social media.
Yeah.
That gives me hope. Kids and students are owning who they are in the moment, right? I think that's important because that gives light to the fact that they're willing to be authentic.
Yeah.
I think so many, I'm a Gen Xer on the lower end, and I know I was raised with a lot of facade, right? What goes on in this house stays in this house. You don't need, you be one way here and one way there.
Yeah.
And those days are gone. And I think that God can work easier in an authentic situation.
Yeah.
And so I'm not threatened by students who authentically, this is who I am and I do or I don't believe in God, because then at least we're already at the truth. We don't have to try to get there.
Yeah.
And so that encourages me with this generation. The generation that's coming up and their ability to be non-judgmental.
Love that.
Is huge.
Yeah.
Is huge. I think this generation has a better grasp on sin being sin and all of us being in need of a savior than any generation before.
Wow.
And I think that's going to serve them well.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited with Gen Z on the horizon and what God has in store.
That's awesome. Hey, Paul, where can we go to find out a little bit more about your ministry and what you do?
Absolutely. So I have a website. Please feel free to check it out. PurposeOverRules.org. And it's spelled out just like it sounds. PurposeOverRules.org. You can also get me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of that, Paula Danielle with two N's on the Danielle.
Awesome. I would highly encourage you to check that out. There's a whole bunch of information. I just love your passion that you have, not just for your kids and your girls and helping them grow in their faith. I love that you're sharing that with everybody else as well, encouraging all of us to do exactly the same thing, just share our faith with our kids.
Well, Dave, awesome. I appreciate you all for having me. I'm so excited to be here. This is such a privilege. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, what amazing content we've had today. I'm challenged by what Kara Powell shared. One out of two students drift away from God and the church after high school. That for me as a dad with a daughter who's a junior and another who's a friend, I don't want them to become part of that statistic, but I love that she gave that practical wisdom that the best way to have passionate, unwavering students is to partner with their families. And that's what, as church leaders, as people in ministry, that's what we want. And then I love that we followed that up with Paula and that idea that she said, right, of faith being a journey, not a destination. One of the things that I like to say is faith is a journey, not a guilt trip. And if we can put those two things together, if we can understand the statistics, but then follow it up with a practical journey aspect to students' faith, then I think we're some way towards breaking that statistic. So I hope you got a lot out of today's episode. I thought it was pretty amazing.
Hey, I have something else.
Interjecting with Kevin.
Hey, thank you. Actually, that was why I actually want to interject. I want everyone to recognize that this was the first time we've ever had Dave sing on the podcast. So, and the first time you sang my name.
See, so Kevin,
I feel very special. So thank you for doing that.
Interjecting with Kevin. Well, we really hope that you...
I'm vanishing now.
Oh, you're vanishing now. All right, wait, for next year, we need to work on that jingle a little bit. Hey, if anybody out there actually does auto-tuning and maybe could put... I would love that. Imagine if somebody sent that into us, Kevin. If you want to auto-tune what I just sang and put some sound effects to it with a funky beat or something like that... I will give you a big shout out. I will give you a shout out on my own personal social media. We will use that for 2018, won't we, Kevin?
Absolutely. If you have my music for me to interject, then it's on.
So anybody out there who is a DJ or knows anything about music, we're going to give you one more shot at it. Okay. I'm going to do the first part and you join me for the second part.
Got it.
Interjecting with Kevin. All right, go ahead. Go and use that. Go and do whatever you need to do with it. Hey, we can't thank you enough for being part of the Think Orange podcast family. We really hope that today's episode was helpful to you. And you know, you've got a team of people behind you here at the Think Orange Bunker who not only want to give you the information, but we really want to pray for you as well. We want to support you and encourage you in any way that we can. So to share your story with us, just simply go to thinkorangepodcast.com, fill out the contact form there. Let us know how we can best support you. Let us know how we can encourage you. Let us know how we can pray for you. We would love to do that. As always, we would also appreciate if you could leave a review of this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever it is that you're listening from. Also, subscribe to our podcast as well. These are great ways to get the word out. And if you would love to just tweet some of the takeaways from today's episode, they can be found in the show notes. Hey, thank you so much. And we will see you next week for a very special episode 35. And remember, as always, Kevin, you're going to join me on this one.
I'm here. I'm ready.
Whenever you think next generation, think orange.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Think Orange podcast.
Join us next time for more ideas and conversations to help you influence the next generation.
For more episodes and show notes, visit thinkorangepodcast.com.